AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, here's Don Bailey Jr. and a voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, hour number two of the Hurricane Hotline. Coming up on the show, you got to toggle that switch a little bit.
I'm toggling.
You got it? I hear you. Can hear me?
I can hear you.
Great.
There we go.
All right. We're going to have Al Blades here momentarily. We have Brevin Jordan on the show here in hour number two. Miami's leading receiver, by the way. And Gerald Willis.
So that's a pretty good lineup,
pretty
Joseph.
Pretty good lineup here in hour number two to hear from the player's perspective. Al Blades, of course, a legacy player. Mm-hmm. And so we look forward to talking with him here momentarily. Big game coming up on Friday night. Going to be cold. So players got to respond to all that, you know, BS about the cold weather. Just go play. And stop the run. And generate some offense.
Okay, coach.
How about that?
I got you.
Three things. Going up against a very experienced Boston College team. They've kind of been building for this season. They went 7-6. 7-6. Now they're sitting there 5-2. Lost to North Carolina State. 35 seniors on the team. Most of them, out of the 22 starters, I think it's 14 or 15 are seniors.
Well, when you think about this, that's how you're going to win a championship these days, no matter who you are, whether it's your conference or whatever, is how do you stack up your seniors or how do you stack up your experience? I think that that is the number one part of the equation if you're not Alabama, right? That's a whole nother world to itself. And the key to that is you look at what Clemson has done. They had 19 guys come back that are starters. They had a whole group of defense alignment that could have left early for the National Football League, and they all returned and they all made the decision, we're coming back and we as a team are going to make a run for this championship. And you can't win big time games on a consistent basis with inexperience. Freshmen do not match up against juniors and seniors. If you think of it in the easiest form, 10 and 11 year olds do not match up against 15 and 16 year olds. It's different when everybody's shaving or 18 to 22.
I'll go at it this way. The formula for Miami in basketball for Coach L was his juniors and seniors beat up Duke and Carolina's freshmen and sophomores. His best teams were Kenny Kaji, Reggie Johnson, Duran Scott team, the Angel Rodriguez, Sheldon McClellan team. So that's the challenge. Miami's got to find that right formula. Notre Dame is sitting there with a chance to get into the top four. I guess maybe they are in the top four right now. But Notre Dame, Jerry Tillery went back. Tavon Coney went back. Tranquil gave Miami Fitz the safety, went back. And right now they're sitting there undefeated with a chance to also run the table. So Miami's got to find that formula. I don't know exactly how you do it. They're getting closer to it. But their challenge this week is going to be some of these young guys, whether it's Scaife or Brevin Jordan or
Al Blades
or Wiggins.
Right.
They have to make some plays.
They got to make some
plays.
Find
a way to make some plays.
And it's easy for us to sit here and demand them to make plays. But those names that you just mentioned have never been to this joint. Those names that you've just mentioned have never played in this kind of weather. Those names that you have just mentioned are going up against fourth and fifth year guys. And I lived that once, and there's a difference. There's a difference.
All right, let's jump in here quickly. You've got freshman defensive back Al Blades joining us here on the Hurricane Hotline. Al, good evening. How are you tonight?
How are you doing?
We're good. Now, I guess we got you either between classes or right before class, or maybe during class. I'm not sure which one.
No, you guys are good.
Did you have class tonight?
Yes, I have class right now.
Right. What are you taking? What's the class?
I'm in math 101 right now.
Ooh, math. That Don Bailey knows about math.
I'm okay with the math. Hey, Al, you know, we're at practice constantly, and I watched you coming off the field a couple weeks ago, and I don't know the way to describe it. Is you were happy to be practicing. You were happy to be a Hurricane. You were happy that it was over. But you're happy to be here, aren't you?
I mean, yeah, every day you wake up is a blessing. I mean, every day I step on the field, you just got to take it as it is and don't take it for granted. So I'm just blessed to be able to wake up every day and practice.
What's the experience been like for you so far, Al? And you were a captain earlier this year for one of the games. What has the experience been like for you, and do you feel like you're progressing?
Yeah, I feel like I'm definitely growing game by game. I've had challenges that I've learned from and all overcame. So I definitely feel like I'm growing, and it's been a great experience being able to just to be on special teams. Is one of the biggest parts of the team, and be able to lead on that part of the team is something big for me.
Pretty special room you have with the safeties, Red Wine, and then Johnson, of course, and then Jackson at corner. And this older group, one of the few areas on this team that does have some mentorship in place. Are they taking good care of you?
Oh, of course. The whole defense in the back room is very tight. The safeties and the corners have meetings together. So, you know, we're really one unit, one mind. So when we get together, they have no problem telling us what we're doing wrong or right. So the leadership in the cornerback room and safeties room is definitely there.
Now, what would you say is the biggest thing you've learned so far as a freshman playing, or maybe what has been the biggest challenge for you?
I think the biggest thing I've learned so far is just always be urgent. I mean, I've always been urgent, but you really get to realize what you've done all your life. The rewards are really coming in. You're reaping what you sow. Always being urgent, learning, staying in the playbook. Just being able to study film, those little things come into play once you get at a bigger level. And just always being able to learn your assignments. Knowing your assignments is the biggest part, half of the battle.
Al, I don't know that people, our listeners, realize this, but when you're in college and then even more so in the NFL, you are really given the answers to the test every single week. How you succeed is how much time you put in to studying the answers that you already have.
Exactly. I think a lot of kids in high school and coming up don't really realize that when you get to a certain level, the coaches are getting paid to put in the work and really figure out everything the opposing team's going to do. And they're there to feed it to you and help you realize what's going on. But they can't really do everything for you. So it's up to you to be able to go study and really go over what they're trying to teach you in practice.
All right, how about this game on Friday night? They're pretty good on special teams, number one. And number two, they've got a couple of clever wide receivers. Number six, Smith was a former quarterback, and Lewis and Walker, 3-11. Those guys are dependable receivers. What is your challenge on Friday?
I definitely think we'll take care of the receiving game. We'll really focus on their running game. I think that's the heart of their team. We take the head off a snake and the body dies, so. I think our coaches are going to do a good job of just. I know they're going to do a good job of taking away the strength of the team and back end. I know we'll definitely take care of the receivers.
Manny Diaz has got, and the entire defensive staff has got this team, this defensive side of the football, really playing at a historic level. I mean, you guys are going to. If we can finish this season at this level, you're going to look back and say, my goodness, we accomplished as much defensively as any team really in the history of the University of Miami. That alone is enough to play for the next 6 weeks, isn't it?
Exactly. No matter where we stand, no matter win or loss, no matter what day it is, Monday to Friday, I think it's up to us to come out and give our best effort. And whoever puts the ball down and gets on the other side of the ball in front of us, it's up to us to stop them. And we personally feel like we step on the field, we show up to the game. We're bust too, and the defense shows up, we should win the game. So that's personally how I think the defensive mindset is on this team. So it's up to us to win or lose the game.
Now, the defense is taking a lot of pride, right, in everything you do?
Exactly. No matter what we do, we take a lot of pride. They take a lot of pride on film study, take a lot of pride on effort. Every day, every play, every snap we take, it's up to us to run to the ball. So everything we do is fast-paced and look to with high quality.
Al, how do you help the University of Miami recruit the class of 2019? I know a lot of the freshmen are involved in that, but what is your message to the players coming in 19 and 20? What do you tell them?
For the players in 2019, it's just all about them staying focused and being prepared to come in with the right mindset and effort. And then for that recruiting aspect, just you just got to set a little bug in some of the kids' ears, you know, and just just try to create leaders in the class. You know, like our class has some strong leaders, and recruiting the class before us, and DJ Dallas' class had a strong leader. So it's all about just finding that leader in the class and bringing the class together. So when they do come in, the team will be strong. The stronger the chemistry is, the better the team will be.
Boston College has a former Aquinas player, defensive end Wyatt Ray. I don't know, did you cross paths with him? Let's see. Maybe you were a freshman when he was a senior, right? Probably at St. Thomas?
Yeah, I wasn't at St. Thomas my freshman and sophomore year, so I'm not really sure about him.
That would mean that you did not cross paths with him. All right, so at any rate, we got to take care of that guy. He left South Florida. How about the competition between you and DJ Ivy? You guys enjoy competing against the offense, but also, I guess, against each other every day, right?
Exactly. We come out every day with a mindset of just getting better. I mean, me and DJ are really close, so at the end of the day, we're on the same team, so we help each other no matter what it is. But at the same time, we come out every day competing to try to become the best. So that's what it's all about.
How much joy did you get out of Trajan Bandy having two picks against Virginia in that game?
Oh, man. If you only knew, I'm like the biggest hype man on the team. Whenever somebody makes a play at me, it just brings joy to me and brings joy to the game. So, you know how energetic I am. So to see Trajan come out like that. After the first pick, I told him, you got the first one early, so it means nothing. So it's time to get another one. So and so be it. The next series, he got another one. And if they told him the same thing, and I would have kept telling him the same thing, keep getting them early, you got to get another one. It's still time of the game. So that's just how I feel with the mindset going to the game.
Besides the fact they like to run the ball at Boston College, they have about 900 tight ends.
Right? Definitely. They have a lot of tight ends.
What problems does that present for somebody in the secondary?
I mean, that don't present any problems for us. We have all of our corners are strong, able to cover anybody on the field. So I don't think that's going to cause any problems. And now all of our corners hit, so we don't have a problem putting our helmet in the box.
Tell us about D. Wiggins. He's getting some playing time, got a start against Virginia, true freshman, a Dade County guy. Tell us about him and how much he's improved since you guys got into camp.
I mean, D. Wiggins is a very special guy. I mean, he has the right mindset, and that's the first step. And after you realize he has the right mindset, he takes every day and tries to learn something. He just comes out every day and competes. I mean, I think that's what I love about him the most. No matter what it is, he competes. No matter what happens on the field, he knows how to just know it's the field. And we come out the field, and at the end of the day, we're brothers.
All right, we know you got to get to that math class. So the last question for you would be, I'm sure your uncles are pretty proud of you. How much do you hear from them before and after every game?
I mean, before every game, they wish me luck. During the week as well, they wish me luck. After the game, you know, they say what they have to say. They give me tips if they see something. I think at the Florida State game, it was one play on punt. Well, I didn't stack very well. And I heard from after the game from my uncle. So, you know, they always touch base with me, helping me be me. But at the end of the day, they let me be my own eagle and let me fly. And whenever I need checking on, they do it.
That means there are always eyes on you, Al. They've got eyes on you no matter what.
Of course. Yep.
Al, I think they've had eyes on you since you were a baby, so don't worry about it. It's nothing new.
Nothing new.
All right, very good. You've been a great guest. Thanks for joining us, and get to that math class now.
All right.
Thank you.
Take
care.
It.
All right, good night. All right, that's
a good one.
Freshman Al Blades joining us. Did a good job.
Are you kidding me?
Right? Great job.
What a great young man. What a great young man. I mean, he's been captain already. And, Joe, I have to tell you, and you're there. I mean, I don't know if you see it because all of us are doing our own thing. But he comes off that field. I don't care if it's the hottest day. I don't care if they had to do gas. I don't care what the day was. There's not one person that comes off that field with a bigger smile and a better attitude than him every single time.
Attitude will take you a long way. We do have to mention, and this was already reported and confirmed, Lingard was injured today, suffered a knee injury to the extent we don't know at this point, but I would think that he's not going to play this week. And it's a shame because he was starting to come along. I tell you, he had that kickoff return the other night where he went 100 miles. That was a demolition derby. He went 100 miles an hour, but they were trying to get him into incorporate a little bit more because he is a home run hitter. So maybe we'll get more of 23 Cameron Davis.
Well, that affects this Miami plan because he was just now getting ready to to be put in a place to break out, right? To be a part of the equation, so to speak. And it started through special teams, and he'd worked himself in, and that's just an unfortunate part of the game. Cameron Davis from Carroll City Senior High, excellent receiver, good speed, natural runner, and then Burns is there too. You know, we're seeing a little bit of him on some special teams, so there's still some depth there. But, you know, the special teams loss is huge with Lingard, because he was a coast-to-coast guy.
Well, he helped out because Jeff Thomas was banged up after the Florida State game.
Yes, he was.
And so a little bit limited last week or 2 weeks ago against Virginia. So Lingard got in there on the returns. And I don't know if they'll put Jeff Thomas back there or not, but I was excited to see his development. I thought here in the last couple of weeks, maybe the light would go on, he would have an epiphany, and then you would get that guy that could give you that 70-yard touchdown run and finish in the end zone.
Well, it was time. It was a big part of the grooming process for him. I don't know how many games. He's probably played in every game, so he's going to have missed the redshirt opportunity. I don't know that for sure. We'd have to look into that. But, you know, he was a guy that had started climbing the ladder. You know, he came in a little raw and didn't understand how to pass block and maybe had some trouble understanding the receiving game that goes along with college football. But he was starting to make it happen, and there was a lot of football left to be played, and if he doesn't come back, that is a big loss.
So we'll see what the diagnosis is there. Mark Pope, they're going to try to get him maybe a little more involved, had him on the field against Virginia, another guy with good speed, but probably needs to spend a little more time in the playbook.
Well, you know, he's got to understand the game. It's not – in high school, it's – beat him, we're throwing it to you about this spot.
Yeah.
Here, you got to read coverages. There's going to be checkoffs. You got blocking assignments. You've got option routes. You've got things that are so in depth at that position that there's a lot to know. It's no more, I beat you, I'll catch the football.
All right, when we come back, midseason All-American. Gerald Willis joins us next here on the Hurricane Hotline on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, back to Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Canes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, welcome back. Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr. Tito. Tito is our producer tonight, and by the way, can you give us a little extra juice there? Thank you, because we're both deaf.
I wonder why.
Yeah, that's working, I think. All right, I spoke with Gerald Willis earlier today out on the practice field, and he's joining us tonight on the show, and what a season he's having. Midseason All-American on the Allen Trophy Award list, the Bednarik Award list, and has been a dominating player. Don, so far for the University of Miami, he has 13 tackles for losses so far, playing on the other side of the line of scrimmage.
He's living there.
Yeah. Gerald Willis is with us right now. Gerald, good evening. How are you?
How you doing, man? How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Thank you. Congratulations on your season so far. Now, it's only halfway, so you got a lot of work to do. But why do you think you're having so much success so far this season?
Coach Simpson, really, man. Coach Simpson, he taught me a lot since Coach Cool left. He helped me with my fever, helped me with my get-off, and he helped me being a leader, man, just on and off the field. And I think all that's taken in on how I'm playing this year.
What's it like being the old guy on the defensive line in some respects? You're the mentor to Jordan Miller and Ford and those other guys. Are you enjoying that role?
Well, yes, I'm really enjoying that role, but I never thought I'd be an old guy on the D-line, you know. But I'm really enjoying the road, man. I'm just happy. I'm just blessed. I get to see them guys every day and teach them guys every day and be them guys here. Just like guys been for me in the past, so it's a blessing.
Let's pick up on that for a moment, Gerald, because you are going to play against a team that's probably the most experienced in the ACC. You've been in college football for 5 years now with the University of Miami for three or four. Picking up on what you just said with Don, the experience that you have now compared to where you were, when you first started in the college game. How much has that experience helped you?
It helped me a lot. Just knowing the game of football itself, just breaking it down, just not going out there not knowing what I'm doing. Just a lot of film study. Just always being out there trying to get extra work. It's just a lot goes into the game, and I think it really upped my game from being that immature player I was. So thanks to Coach Simpson, he helped me out with that.
Now you got Bethel plays beside you. Tell us about him. He just comes to work every day, doesn't he?
Yeah, he comes to work every day. You know, he's really not a big guy on the awards and all the stuff I'm getting. He's supportive of me, but that's a guy that just comes to work every day, not worrying about what the other man's getting. That's just a guy I just depend on every play, every down. I just know this guy. I trust him with my heart. I trust him with anything I do, and I know if he's beside me, he's coming ready to play, and he knows what he's doing.
You're living with Demetrius Jackson, right?
Yes, sir.
You and DJ. So what's that like for you, and what kind of influence has he had for you?
Demetrius, he had a lot of influence on me, especially with my life-changing moment I had in my life this past year. He's just always on my back about watching films. He's always on my back about getting up early, going to get treatment. I mean, he's just a guy that's always on your back, and just a guy that's, you know, always going to tell you right from wrong. I needed that, and that's why I moved with Demetrius Jackson.
Gerald, tell us the influence Coach Rick has had on your life.
The influence Coach Rick had on my life was a big influence. Like I said, these past year, Coach Rick could have gave up on me at the all the trouble I got into. Coach Rick stuck with me, stayed with me. He texted me the other day saying how proud he is of me. I never had a coach, a head coach that ever did something like that. I just know Coach Rick cares about me. And he just continued wanting me to be a leader. I'm just so grateful and so happy that Coach Margaret never gave up on me. He gave me an opportunity to play, you know, another year of football. So, man, I love that man.
When you get that kind of support from your head coach, what does it mean to you? Maybe the fourth quarter when you're hot and tired, does it make you press on just a little bit more?
Of course, man. It made me press on a little bit more, especially during them hard games like a Florida State, a UNC. This guy, man, every time I look at him, he's telling me, keep playing. I just play for him, man. Until Coach Rick is more than football. At the end of the day, you know, football is not going to be forever. So it is more than football, man. This man taught me a lot just to be a better person, to be a better man. And, man, like I said, I'm just grateful. I'm so happy to have Mark Rick in my life.
All right, so now let's talk about the influence that you've had on Jordan Miller and Silvera. Tell us what those guys are going to turn into.
Man, them guys are going to turn into some monsters. I can see it in Jordan Miller early. Big Jordan Miller, he's a big guy. He's like 300-plus. I think he's the strongest one on our team right now as a freshman, so... Man, I think Jordan Miller is going to be a great player and a great person. John Foy has some potential. Like, he still have some stuff to learn, but I think Coach Simpson handled that. I think those guys are going to be some monsters out the field. I just see so much potential every day, in and out. They're always so eager to learn about new stuff. They always follow my lead. Man, I just can't wait to come back and, you know, watch the guys practice and, you know, watch them guys mature and make plays like I do.
Gerald Willis is our guest right now on the Hurricane Hotline on Friday. It's Miami and Boston College. Don and I and Josh Darrell will have the call for you beginning at 3 o'clock in the afternoon with our pregame 7 o'clock kickoff. We talked a little bit about it this afternoon, Gerald, but this Boston College team, what do you see in their offensive line? You got a bunch of tight ends. I call it the barge. They put a bunch of big offensive linemen out there with three and four tight ends, and they're going to say, hello, we're here to run the football.
Yes, sir. Watching those guys on film, I have to say they're probably one of the best O-linemen I've seen since we've been playing. Man, those guys real big and real physical up front. It's probably the most physical team we're going to play this year, the most experienced O-linemen that we're going to play this year. Man, like I just told the guys, man, I told them at the practice, man, it's going to be a challenge. You know, it's going to be a war in the trenches. And whoever wins the trenches, that's who's going to win the game. So we got to get ready to tackle the big back low can't tackle him high because, you know, he can bounce off. He's a big back. So, I mean, like I said, it's going to be a challenge, man. I think the defense we ready for. We ready to, you know, to continue getting the TFLs.
You know, the offensive line of the University of Miami has taken some heat in the last few weeks. Tell us how good they really are, because I watch you guys battle. Every time I'm down there, I watch the one-on-ones, and the offensive line is getting better. A lot of those guys didn't play the position that they played last year. You know, St. Louis went from right to left, and Donaldson went from guard to tackle. But overall, they have improved, have they not?
Yes, sir, they improved a lot. You know, a lot of people don't see the grind we put on every day through the week. Everybody just sees it on TV. Everybody just sees it on Saturday. Man, those guys improved, man. I still have trust in those guys. I still believe in those guys. I feel like they're going to get it together. I know them guys is great. I know them guys are good. They have so many leaders on the O line, like Tyler Goddard, St. Louis. The guys trying to get better every day. Just like, we don't want to let them down, they don't want to let us down. So I think we're going to have a new attitude coming from Boston College.
You've got, we mentioned the big offensive line. Boston College is going to give you a couple of big running backs. It's still undecided whether or not A.J. Dillon is going to play number two. But the other guys, including this dude that played last week for him, the freshman, number 26, he's about 250 pounds. I guess you got to get these guys going sideways, right?
Yes, sir. That's the motive. We get them guys going sideways, and the old linemen, they're getting their feet behind the line of scrimmage, like Simpson taught us. I think, man, everything will go out. Everything will go to plan. Everything will go all the way. The linebacker scraping over when the running back bounced the ball. If that happened, man, we won again. We just continue doing what we're doing.
What's it like having Shaq Quarterman standing behind you in a ball game?
Man, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to have Shaq back there. Shaq's the captain of the defense, to be honest. He tell us left or right. He tell us to play. Shaq have so many jobs. Tell you how some of the jobs do on the field, and man, it's just a blessing. I just know Shaq come and play, and he's ready for war. You know, Shaq, I can always depend on Shaq. I love it when Shaq's behind.
This is a big game, isn't it? I mean, you got a lot to play for. There is still a big prize out there at the end of the year if you guys can take care of your business.
Yes, sir. Like I told the guys today, I told the guys at the practice today, man, as you keep focusing on our goal. As a key focus, and take a game at one game by a game. We gotta control the controller, you know, we can't control what the offense gonna do. So we gotta do what we gotta do. Just take it a game by game, or, you know. Maybe at the end of the year, when we keep winning out and keeping the best defense in the league, you know, we can play for the ACC championship. Man, I love to play Clemson. Man, I didn't get that chance last year, so I love to play for Clemson. We're gonna go to war out there with my brothers.
When you think of this season being a senior year and everything that you've gone through and the things that you've had to battle, what do you think you're going to be most proudest of? If it ended today, what would you say I'm the most proud of? What?
Man, I'm the most proud of just playing with my team, just having given another opportunity to play with my brothers. Some people just don't understand and know the feeling of just, you know, sitting out. And just, you know, sitting out and looking at the guys play the game that you love. I'd be so proud of just end of the year with my brothers and on the W. I don't care if we lost, how many games we lost, how many games we won. As long as that last game we win, I'm just so proud of that. I just could play beside my brothers and, you know, I could have this moment for life.
All right, you had a big game on Friday. My hope is that you wreck their offense.
Yes, sir.
All right, very good. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Congratulations on everything you've accomplished so far, and let's keep it going.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you. Thank you, guys.
All right, take Bye-bye. Care. All right, that's Gerald Willis joining us, and he is having a monster season.
Well,
and he's going to have his hands full on Friday night. But
two things, Joe. This year is going to, this defense has a chance to set records at Miami, and that's saying a lot, okay, because we know what that has been in the past. Also, if you're a defensive player and you want to play in the National Football League, if I'm a scout, this tape and LSU, I'm putting in first. I'll flip the coin between those two, because this is a good look if you can hold up in the National Football League. It's an old school kind of offense. It has the tempo, but it's still got the fullback and it's got the tight ends. And you talked about it. They got an experienced offensive line, and if you can manhandle these guys, then you're going to give yourself a good look for the National Football League.
You know, the game within the game for this one's going to be field position.
No question.
You don't want to give Boston College the ball at the 40-yard line.
Actually, it's like
you're
the 40 opposite.
Or they're 40.
Right. It's the opposite. Yeah. If you can pin them.
You need to pin them back.
That's right.
Because it's a, even though it's a tempo offense, they don't want to throw the ball.
No.
They don't want they want to throw the ball on their terms. They want to throw the ball.
They don't want to have to.
Right. After they've pummeled you with the run and then get their bootleg game going, get that quarterback out on the edge, throw into those big tight ends who are enormous targets and hoping you'll blow a coverage. Or then they start coming in with their little reverses and their gadget plays. A couple of these wide receivers are former quarterbacks, so they can run it, they can throw it, but it all starts with they want to pummel you with the run, and then off of that, they want to get into their other packages. If you get them into a drop-back game, then you got a pretty good chance.
They think that they can break you physically.
Right.
They really do. That's what they think, and they've always thought that. And it's, you know, they're very similar to what Miami saw against Wisconsin.
Yeah, they're a combination Wisconsin-Notre Dame,
in my opinion. I would agree with that. I would agree with that wholeheartedly. And you're going to have to – defensively, I got all the confidence in the world in this defense. I think that some things are going to happen in this game that we haven't seen happen against Miami's defense, and Miami's going to bend a little bit. They're not going to break. They're not going to break. The feeling on that side of the football is unbelievable. You know, you can see that it's a championship mindset defensively. And offensively, you hit it. 16 completions. Let's see what happens.
Well, Malik Rozier has not had 16 completions in a game since North Carolina of last year. But if he gets to 16, now he's won games below that. If he gets to 16, they're probably going to win the game.
Well, and it to me, a screen pass is a completion.
Well, yeah,
right?
I would like to see a few of those.
Let's go on
and
a set.
I don't care if it's a bubble screen or a screen screen.
Now,
they ran a beautiful screen against LSU in that first game of the year. Had some action with Cager and DJ Dallas. I'd like to see them shorten some things up, get the ball in certain spots. But I think you got to get him going because he is so streaky. Streaky bad, and then can be streaky good, and you got
to
just ride
him. Consistent,
right? Well, you got to ride him when he's hot.
Yeah, you
got to find a way to get him completions.
That's right,
you got to get him completions in bushels, like the Syracuse game last year. Hit like his first 9 passes.
Very interesting. Yeah. What's going to happen? This is going to be. This is my kind of football game.
I know.
I mean, this is right up in my wheelhouse. I enjoy it. It's fun to call, but there's a physical element that a lot of people don't enjoy anymore that I do.
Bring your heavy jacket, your ski cap, and your gloves. It's going to be about 35. The guy who can help Miami, the Miami passing game, is Brevin Jordan. He'll join us next right here on the Hurricane Hotline.
HD2 WQAM, driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, back to Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Canes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, welcome back to the show. The leading receiver for the University of Miami is a freshman tight end, Brevin Jordan, 18 catches, 208 yards, 4 touchdowns, having himself a spectacular freshman season. Brevin Jordan is with us right now. Brevin, good evening. How are you? Did I push the right button? Hello, Brevin. There we go.
Hello,
Brevin. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, there we go. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for playing. How you doing?
All right, we're good. Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr., we're doing great. Before we dive into into football, great story about you and your family and your mom. How is your mom doing? And get us caught up on that part of the story.
My mom's doing good, you know. She's a single mom. She's raised three boys all by herself, you know. he sent three boys to private schools in Las Vegas, you know, Bishop Gorman. So she's doing good, man. She's a queen. She's been healthy for 14 years. She beat cancer when I was 4, and now I'm 18, you know, so she beat it a long time ago. But she's doing good, man. She's a queen.
Brevin, you sound awfully, awfully proud of her, and I imagine you get a lot of your strength and a lot of your desire from her.
Definitely, man. I lost my motivation. She's like my heartbeat. I always say that all the time. Just because of everything she's been through, you know, she's just a strong black woman, you know. And I'm just so proud of her, and she's proud of me, and I'm just trying to return the favor for her.
In the article, it mentioned that originally she thought maybe she wanted you to be safer, be closer to home. It might be better for you. And then she met Coach Richt, and she said, you can go to Miami. What kind of impact did he have on the recruiting as well as Coach Harley?
Well, Coach Richt and Coach Harley had a huge, man, like, I'm talking huge impact on the whole recruiting process. Because me and my mom both, you know, we were both stuck in UCLA. We were like, we're going to UCLA. It's a 45-minute flight home. You know, they're starting to use the tight ends more. Everything they're telling us, you know, sounded like heavy for years, you know. But then Miami came around because Rick and Coach Harley came around, and everything they were telling us, they were just so sincere. And, you know, it's different when a school is trying to transition to using the tight ends more. This is a school that already does it and is known for it, you know. So Miami was known for having tight ends every year in, year out. Tighten you. So, I mean, Coach Rick and Coach Harley, they were just so sincere about it. And, you know, they told me, you know, you have a chance to play early as long as you just come in and work. And I came in and work, and everything's saying, yeah, everything they told me just came true.
You didn't realize you'd be playing 60 and 70 plays of games right out of the bag, did you?
No. I didn't expect it, but, I mean, just, I don't know. Just everything came around so fast. There was so much pressure on me and Will that we had to run the playbook faster. We had to become bigger, stronger, faster, everything, you know. So it was just a good process. I'm glad I went through it all so soon.
What was it like for you to catch the game-winning pass against Florida State?
That was a great feeling, man. You know, I didn't even know, like, just catching the ball. Like, when I caught it and scored, I didn't even know what to do. I had no celebration in mind. I just ran in the back pylon, back end zone. So that was a great feeling, man. And to look back and, like, you know, I can say, like, my name will be forever engraved in history in the Miami-FSU rivalry. It's a great feeling.
Yeah, yes, it will. I think Don and I got a text from one of the great Hurricane fans, Board of Trustee member. We had a text, and it was this like Jeremy Shockey's touchdown? I said, well, we guess so.
Yeah, see you're already in big company when you make a big play against Florida State.
Definitely, man. It's cool.
Hey, so the thing that I've been impressed with, and I watch you very closely, is what a tenacious blocker you are. You've got excellent technique, and you don't mind getting your nose bloodied. You go right in there every single time, and that's a mindset. You know, it's one thing to catch a ball and score a touchdown and do that, but the dirty work you don't have a problem with, do you?
No, absolutely not. You know, I want to be a tight end. I've always said this. I want to be a tight end that is known for his blocking and his catching, you know, so it's different when you find – it's different because there's a lot of tight ends in the NFL and in college especially too. They can do one or the other. You know, one's like 6'6", 250 pounds, just handing it there, just a really good blocker. Kind of like another tackle. Or there's a tight end, there's a typical tight end who's like 6'4", 6'3", 230, 245, and they're really good route runners, but they're not really blockers. You know, so when you can bring both of the package, NFL scouts and – everybody, they're gonna catch their eyes. So that's just one thing I take a lot of pride in, especially with Coach Harley, my coach, man. He said, when you come to Miami, you're going to have to run the block. You cannot just come in and do one or the other.
You have the body of a junior or senior. You're going to go against a team, a defense that's loaded with older players. What's going to be the toughest part of playing against Boston College Friday night?
Really nothing, you know. I've played in big games. I've played against big-time All-American prospects. I've played against the Brian Burns and, you know, top dudes in the country, you know. So I'm not – to me, it's just going into another game just having to do my job. That's what all it is.
So tell us about Will Mallory. You guys roommates, and how's that relationship and the recruiting process?
Will's my brother, man. He's real cool. Real cool white dude, man. We're like, I don't know. We're just real cool. He just actually walked in. He just got back from class. But real cool dude, man. Like, I met him at the opening. It's an all-star event. But it's the whole top prospects in the country goes to. And so I met Will. And, we were both committed to Miami at the time. That's when we first met. And, you know, it just clicked right away, you know. It's kind of like we were trying to compete against each other, because although we do compete against each other every day, it's more like a competition to be great, you know, because Miami uses two tight end sets so frequently. So, I mean, but with losing Michael Irvin and Brian Pelini this year, Will has to learn a new role. In the beginning of the year, like summer ball, Will was mainly learning the why. So, I mean, just overall, we just know, man, Miami is two tight end sets, so we're just like, we're grateful to be in the position we are.
You know, it's funny you mention that, because I maybe you'd agree with this, Don, but a couple of years ago, when Miami won five in a row, the offense was rolling pretty good at the end of the 2016 season, mm-hmm. with Njoku and Herndon, right? You Correct. Had Amon in there as well, but you had Njoku and Herndon in there. And those three guys plus Walton, that really gave Miami some great weapons to move the ball around. And I think that's what Coach Richt is trying to get to with the current guys, including Brevin, yourself, and Will. And Coach said today that Will has been practicing a lot better. So, well, maybe not a lot better, but he's got him settled down a little bit, kind of the way you mentioned. And maybe you're getting to a point here where the ball can get spread around a little bit.
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, Will has go-go gadget arms, though. Like, Will's arms are so long, and he has thick hands. He has huge hands. So, I mean, when you can put both of us in the game at the same time, you can move me to Y, move him to F, move me to F, move him to Y. There's so many, and our offense is so much quicker, you know, because he knows receiver, and he knows the true tight end. I know receiver, and I know the true tight end spot. So, it's like our offense is moving, you know. So, when you have two tight ends that are really good, it's kind of like a Gronk and Aaron Hernandez type of thing, how dynamic offense can be. So, definitely that's what Coach Rick is trying to get to.
Yeah, you know, and well, we saw Will Mallory make in training camp. He made, in one of the scrimmages, he took the ball off of someone's helmet. It was a hell of a catch.
Oh, yeah.
And then he had one in practice where he dove across the back line of the end zone and looked like Glenn Swan or something. He looked tremendous. So, you know, he's got great hands.
Dude has freakish hands, man. Freakish hands. He's freakishly long. He runs like a deer. Dude is just a beast, man. Me and him bring so much to the table that it's hard for defenses to stop.
Talk about your tight end coach. He doesn't lack any energy, does he? He's a pretty fiery guy, huh?
So Charlie?
Yeah.
That's my guy, man. That's my guy. Every day he tells me, he's like, I just want to make you great. You know, because as much as he yells, as much as he screams, he just wants us to be great, you know? Right now, we're really thin at the tight end position at Miami, you know. We lost a junior, we lost Michael Irvin, we lost our sophomore. So the room is really just two tight ends, two freshman tight ends. And he's not used to that, you know. So Coach Howie's just pushing us. He's pushing us so hard, man. I mean, he's just overall great dude. He's so passionate about the game. But I really want another coach because of how much, like, we need them, you know. In college, some players, they're just there to be there on the team, you know. There's no real relationship with their coach. But with Coach Howie, man, it's like, We know he loves us, and we love him too. So, I mean, it's just a great coach, man. I wouldn't want anybody else.
You might get two quarterbacks on Friday night. I don't know, but we'll see what happens. Malik is going to start. What do you need from Malik on Friday night?
We need Malik to do his job, man. The whole offense, it's not really Malik, though. I mean, it's more main thing is just the whole offense. You know, once the whole offense can get a good group, we can run the ball. And then after the run game, we can start running play action. We can start going forward, shallow. We can do a lot of stuff. But as long as Malik does his job and the whole offensive line does his job and we protect Malik's going to be on fire. That's just, you know how Malik is.
All right. Well, you've been a great guest, and you're invited back on this show anytime you want.
I appreciate that one, man.
Yeah, you had a free pass to this show, and we'll see you on Friday. And Chestnut Hill is going to be a little chilly, but block that out, and hope to see you in the end zone a few times.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. It is going to be cold. Wear your sleeves. Wear your arms and your jackets.
Yeah. Go out there bare-chested.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
All right. Very
definitely,
good.
Man.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Brevin. Take care.
I appreciate it. You guys, too.
All right. That's freshman tight end Revan Jordan.
You know, they're proud of their mom, but how proud must the mom be of them?
Well, she'd be smiling from ear to ear if she heard that interview.
I mean, you just think about that.
Yes, he's doing a heck of a job, and he clearly knows what's going on in that offense.
A lot of testimonials towards the coaching staff and the guys that recruit him and this program out of these players tonight.
All right. It'd be funny that Miami's got two tight ends. Boston College got half a dozen.
No, they got half a dozen on the roster, like on the two deep six deep.
Right. It'd be a lot of fun if the Miami two can outplay the dozen that BC brings to the table.
Well, I know this one that we just hung up with. They don't have anything that can run and jump and play like that, period. They've got some big traditional tight ends, but nothing like Mr. Jordan.
All right, we got to go. Old Blues coming up next. The great Larry Bluestein's doing a great job on our pregame show. Blues coming up next. He always has wonderful guests. We have any future Hurricanes on the show? Not tonight. All right. That's all right. Still, stay tuned. Larry Bluestein coming up next with the South Florida High School report. That's next here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.